Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
She may feel something like this. I have given to you and you have ignored me. You had your chance. I deserve better. I can't trust you. I am too tired. I have nothing left to give. I will not let you hurt me again. Repeatedly, when this is the case, I have assured women that they don't have to give more to have a better relationship, which I think is a mistake a lot of us women make. Their partner actually will give them more if they give them less. When a man has been ignoring her needs, it is as though they have both been asleep. When she wakes up and remembers her needs, he also wakes up and wants to give her more.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
It's Violet Benson, your favorite meme queen and the big sis you didn't ask for, but need. Welcome to Almost Adulting.
Almost Adulting.
Are you ready?
Hi, besties, and welcome to a brand new Almost Adulting, the larger self-love podcast and movement, your number one destination for personal growth and mental health. I'm your big sister and your host, Violetta. Welcome to a brand new Tuesday episode of Benson Book Club. I'm writing a book this year, which is why I have decided to dedicate every Tuesday to the Benson Book Club, where I'll be sharing with you some of my favorite books, some of my favorite authors, and some of my favorite chapters from those books based on whatever the topic of the month is for the podcast. So today, we will be discussing how to motivate the opposite sex. So aka how to win arguments or how, you know, to understand your partner way better. This is from the book, Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus by John Gray. He has a PhD, so... this is one of my favorite books, and I'm excited to cover it today. Centuries before the Martians and the Venusians got together, they had been quite happy living in their separate worlds. Then, one day, everything changed. The Martians and the Venusians, on their respective planets, suddenly became depressed. It was this depression, however, that motivated them to eventually come together. Understanding the secrets of their transformation helps us today to recognize how men and women are motivated in different ways. With this new awareness, you will be better equipped to support your partner as well as to get support that you need at a difficult and stressful times. Let's go back in time and pretend to witness what happened, okay? When the Martians became depressed, everyone on the planet left the cities and went to their caves for a long time. They were stuck and couldn't come out until one day when a Martian happened to glimpse the beautiful Venusians through his telescope. As he quickly shared his telescope, the sight of these beautiful beings inspired the Martians, and their depression miraculously lifted. Suddenly, they felt needed. They came out of their caves and they began building a fleet of spaceships to fly to Venus. Wow, so men just never change. They see vagina, women, they're like, no more, I'm not depressed anymore. Just kidding. But you will get to learn then what motivates each sex. When the Venusians became depressed, to feel better, they formed circles and they began talking with one another about their problems. But this didn't seem to relieve the depression. They stayed depressed for a long time until, through their intuition, they experienced a vision. Strong and wondrous beings, the Martians, would be coming across the universe to love, serve, and support them. Suddenly, they felt cherished. As they shared their vision, their depression lifted, and they happily began preparing for the arrival of the Martians. So as you can tell already, the difference is Martians no longer depressed when they felt needed. Venus ladies no longer depressed when they felt cherished. So men are motivated and empowered when they feel needed. Women are motivated and empowered when they feel cherished. This is important. These secrets of motivation are still applicable. But I'll repeat, men are motivated and empowered when they feel needed. When a man does not feel needed in a relationship, he gradually becomes passive and less energized. With each passing day, he has less to give the relationship. On the other hand, when he feels trusted to do his best to fulfill her needs and appreciated for his efforts, he is then empowered and he has more to give. Like the Venetians, women are motivated and empowered when they feel cherished. When a woman does not feel cherished in a relationship, she gradually becomes compulsively responsible and exhausted from giving too much. On the other hand, when she feels cared for and respected, she's fulfilled and has more to give as well. A man falling in love with a woman is similar to what took place when the first Martians discovered the Venus women. Stuck in his cave and unable to find the source of his depression, he was searching the sky with his telescope. As if he had been struck by lightning in one glorious moment in his life, was permanently changed. He had glimpsed through his telescope a vision he described as awesome beauty and grace. He had discovered the Venus ladies, his body lit on fire. As he watched these women for the first time in his life, he began to care about someone other than himself. From just one glimpse, his life had a new meaning. His depression lifted. Martians have a win and lose philosophy. I want to win, and I don't care if I lose. As long as each Martian took care of himself, this formula worked fine. It worked for centuries, but now it needed to be changed. Giving primarily to themselves was no longer satisfying. Being in love, they wanted the women to win as much as themselves. In most sports today, we can see an extension of this Martian competitive code. For example, in tennis, I not only want to win, but I also try to make my friend lose by making it difficult for him to return my shots. I enjoy winning even though my friend loses. Most of these Martian attitudes have a place in life, but this win-lose attitude becomes harmful in our adult relationships. If I seek to fulfill my own needs at the expense of my partner, we are sure to experience unhappiness, resentment, and conflict. The secret of forming a successful relationship is for both partners to win. After the first Martian fell in love, he began manufacturing a telescope for all of his brother Martians. Very quickly, they all came out of their depressions. They too began to feel love for these Venus women. They started to care about the Venus women as much as themselves. The strange and beautiful Venus women were a mysterious attraction to the Martians. Their differences especially attracted the Martians. When the Martians were hard, no pun intended, the Venus women were soft. When the Martians were angular, the Venus women were round. When the Martians were cool, the Venus ladies were warm. In a magical and perfect way, their differences seemed to complement each other. In an unspoken language, the Venus women communicate loud and clear, "We need you. Your power and your strength can bring us great fulfillment. Filling a void deep within our being, together we could live in a great happiness." This invitation motivated and empowered the Martians. Many women instinctively understand how to give this message. In the beginning of a relationship, a woman gives a man a brief look that says, "You could be the one to make me happy." In this subtle way, she actually initiates the relationship. This look enough encourages him to come closer. It empowers him to overcome his fears of having a relationship. Unfortunately, once they're in a relationship and as the problems begin to emerge, she doesn't know how important the message still is to him, and she ends up neglecting to send it. The Martians were very motivated by the possibility of making a difference on the Venus ladies. The Martian race was moving to a new level of evolution. They were no longer satisfied by just proving themselves and developing their power, but they wanted to use their power and skills to serve others, especially in the service of the Venus women. They began developing a new philosophy, a win-win philosophy. They wanted a world where everyone cared for themselves as well as for others. So, love motivates Martians. The Martians began building a fleet of spaceships that they would carry them across the heavens to Venus. They had never felt so alive. Through glimpsing the Venus ladies, they were beginning to have unselfish feelings for the first time in their history. Similarly, when a man is in love, he is motivated to be the best he can be in order to serve others. When his heart is open, he feels so confident in himself that he is capable of making major changes. Okay, so far we are learning the men need to feel needed. Men are nicer when they love you. Men want to serve you when they love you. Men's hearts are more open and they feel more confident in themselves when they have love because they feel needed by the opposite sex. Okay. Given the opportunity, the Martian wanted to prove his potential and express his best self. Only when he feels he cannot succeed does he regress back to his old selfish ways. The old selfish ways are the win-lose situation and I only care about myself situation. When a man is in love, he begins to care about another as much as himself. Oh, okay, basically everything I said. He is suddenly released from the binding chains of being motivated for himself alone, becomes free to give another, not for personal gain, but out of caring. He experiences his partner's fulfillment as if it was his own. He can easily now endure any hardship to make her happy because her happiness makes him happy. His struggle becomes easier because he is energized with higher purpose. Most men are not only hungry to give love, but they are starving for it. Their biggest problem is that they do not know what they are missing. They rarely see their fathers succeed in fulfilling their mothers through giving. As a result, they do not know that a major source of fulfillment for a man can come through giving. When his relationships fail, he finds himself depressed and stuck in his cave. He stops caring and he doesn't know why he's so depressed. At such a time, he withdraws from relationships or intimacy and then remains stuck in his cave. He asks himself, what is it all for? And why should he even bother? He doesn't know that he has stopped caring because he doesn't feel needed. He does not realize that by finding someone who needs him, he can shake off his depression and be motivated again. So men, are you hearing this? If you want to cure your depression, all you need to do is to feel needed by other women. So give them money, give them affection. The women will need you. Obviously, it's a joke, but you get the gist. When a man doesn't feel he is making a positive difference in someone else's life, it's hard for him to continue caring about his life and relationships. To become motivated again, he needs to feel appreciated, trusted, and accepted. Not to be needed is a slow death for a man. Now, a woman falling in love with a man is similar to what took place when the Venus ladies believed that the Martians were coming. She dreamt that a fleet of spaceships from heavens would land and a race of strong and caring Martians would emerge. These beings would not need nurturing, but instead, they wanted to provide for and take care of the Venus ladies. These Martians were very devoted and they were inspired by the Venus ladies' beauty and culture. The Martians recognized that their power and competence were meaningless without someone to serve. Ooh. These wondrous and admirable beings have found relief and inspiration in the promise of serving, pleasing, and fulfilling the Venus ladies. What a miracle. The Venus ladies have been depressed because they felt isolated and alone. To come out of depression, they needed to feel that loving help was on the way. Most men have little awareness of how important it is for a woman to feel supported by someone who cares. Women are happy when they believe that their needs will be met. When a woman is upset, overwhelmed, confused, exhausted, or hopeless, what she needs most is simple companionship. She needs to feel like she's not alone. She needs to feel loved and cherished. Empathy, understanding, validation, compassion go a long way to assist her in becoming more receptive and appreciative of his support. Men don't realize this because their Martian instincts tell them that it's best to be alone when they're upset. But when she's upset, out of respect, he will then leave her alone. Or if he stays, he makes matters worse by trying to solve her problems. He does not instinctively realize how very important closeness, intimacy, and sharing are to her. What she needs most is just someone to listen. So this quickly talks about how men's first instinct, because of what they do when they are feeling down, is they need alone time or automatically try to figure out how to solve the problem. Women are not looking for that. So that is why the book is Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, which means when a woman is upset, the man's first instinct, not even on purpose, is to either one, leave her alone so she can have some freedom and space, which upsets her more, or two, try to figure out what the problem is and solve it, because that's his second instinct as a man from Mars, which again upsets her. Because he doesn't realize that C, what she needs, is to feel like she is not alone, to feel cared for, so just someone to listen. Through sharing her feelings, she begins to remember that she is worthy of love and that her needs will be fulfilled. Doubt and mistrust then melt away. Her tendency to be compulsive relaxes as she remembers that she is worthy of love. She doesn't have to earn it. She can relax. She can give less and she can receive more because she deserves it. On Venus, they live by a lose-win philosophy. I lose so that you can win. As long as everyone made sacrifices for others, then everyone was taken care of. But after doing this for centuries, the Venus ladies were tired of always caring about one another and sharing everything. So the men live by a win-lose philosophy until they saw the ladies and they wanted to go into a win-win philosophy. Just like the women, they live by a lose-win philosophy, always sacrificing themselves. And now they were tired of it, which is why they wanted someone to finally care for them and go by the win-win philosophy. Similarly, many women today are also tired of giving. They want time off, time to explore being themselves, time to care about themselves first. They want someone to provide emotional support, someone that they don't have to take care of. The Martians fit the bill perfectly. This is also all about feminine energy and masculine energy. So I love this book. At this point, the Venus ladies needed to learn how to receive, while the Martians needed to learn how to give. This same change commonly takes place in men and women as they mature. In her younger years, a woman is more willing to sacrifice and mold herself to fulfill her partner's needs. In a man's younger years, he's much more self-absorbed and unaware of the needs of others. As a woman matures, she realizes how she may have been giving up herself in order to please her partner. As a man matures, he realizes how he can better serve and respect others. I love this. At what age does this happen? As a man matures, he also learns that he may be giving up himself, but his major change is becoming more aware of how he can succeed in giving. Likewise, as a woman matures, she also learns new strategies for giving, but her major change tends to be learning to set limits in order to receive what she wants. So, when a woman realizes she has been giving too much, she tends to blame her partner for her unhappiness. She feels the injustice of giving more than she has received. Although she has not received what she deserved, to improve her relationship, she needs to recognize how she also contributed to this problem. When a woman gives too much, she should not blame her partner. Similarly, when a man who gives less should not blame his partner for being negative or unreceptive to him, because in both cases, blaming does not work, as that is a lose-lose situation. Understanding, trust, compassion, acceptance, and support are the solution, not blaming our partners. You guys, if you are looking to be healthier this year or just smarter with your money, or you're a person like me who doesn't leave the house often because you work from home, honestly, Thrive Market has been a life savior. If it wasn't for them, I would be ordering takeout every other day and spending $75,000 on just those delivery fees. No, thank you. Thrive Market has been life-changing for me. It's my go-to for all of my grocery and household essentials, and the convenience of getting everything online and then quickly shipped to my doorstep has been such a time savior, okay? I love that Thrive Market carries brands with the highest quality ingredients and sourcing methods. They restrict hundreds of ingredients across their food and cleaning categories, and I can use their on-site filters to suit my lifestyle needs, whether you're looking for organic kids snacks, low-sugar alternatives, gluten-free pantry essentials. You can basically curate your own shopping experience with a few clicks. I'm obsessed with them because I buy all of my cereals with them. I buy all of my cleaning supplies, well, most of it with them. I buy my popsicles there. I buy my healthy snacks on there. I don't know what I would do without Thrive Market. It has been everything for me. And as a Thrive Market member, I save money on every single grocery order. So on average, I save over 30% every single time. They even have this deals page that I constantly use, and it changes on the daily, and it always has some of my favorite brands on there. And lastly, the coolest thing, aside from helping yourself, when you join Thrive Market, you're also helping a family in need with their one-for-one membership matching program. How cool is that? You join and they give. So join in on the savings with Thrive Market today and get 30% off of your first order. Plus, get a free $60 gift. Oh, so go to thrivemarket.com/adulting for 30% off of your first order plus a free $60 gift. How cool is that? That is thrivemarket.com/adulting. thrivemarket.com/adulting for 30% off of your first order plus a free $60 gift and just constant savings on their deals and better food straight to your door. Stop with delivery. Join Thrive Market. I promise you, it has changed my life. I'm finally eating better. Do it today. Love ya. Okay, you guys, I've decided I'm not going to gatekeep this any longer. A lot of you guys always ask me, like, who does my makeup? Why do I always look like I have such nice makeup on? And guess what? It's not me doing my makeup. It is Glam Squad. I have been using Glam Squad since around the time I actually started Daddy Issues, around the time that I quote unquote came out as Daddy Issues. I love them because they're this one-stop shop. You can call them for hair, for makeup, for nails, or all three. And they come straight to your house. I've used them when I was in New York. I've used them in LA. I've used them in Miami. I've used them in Vegas. They have so many different locations, like I think also in Boston, in Dallas, in Houston, San Francisco, Long Island. I think they're also coming soon to Chicago. So basically, they are everywhere. I just use their Glam Squad app, and that's how I'm able to order who I want for the service that I need. They come straight to your door. It's all through the app and it's super cheap. And I just think you don't need to spend what these other people that I know are spending, like $500, $1,000 to do your makeup. Like, give me a break. So use Glam Squad. And right now, for a limited time, you guys, Glam Squad is giving our listeners $20 off of any service. It's valid whether or not you've booked with them before. All you have to do is visit glamsquad.com or download their Glam Squad app and use my code adulting at checkout to get glammed up with $20 off of any service that you order. I honestly, do yourself a favor, do yourself some self-care and join Glam Squad. You're welcome, besties. Bye. So this is when we dive into setting and respecting limits on both ends. So most important, however, is that a woman needs to recognize her boundaries of what she can give without resenting her partner. So instead of expecting her partner to even the score, she needs to keep it even by regulating how much she's giving. So I like that. So then you don't go around blaming your partner for giving you less, then you match his actions by also giving less. Let's look at an example. Jim was 39, his wife Susan was 41 when they came for counseling. Susan wanted a divorce. She complained that she had been giving more than he had for the last 12 years and could not take it anymore. She blamed Jim for being lethargic, selfish, controlling, and unromantic. She said she had nothing left to give and was ready to leave. He convinced her to come to therapy, and she was doubtful. In a six-month period, they were able to move through the three steps for healing a relationship, and today, they are still in a happy married relationship with three children. The three steps are the following. Step one is motivation. So I explained to Jim that his wife was experiencing 12 years of accumulated resentment. So if he wanted to save the marriage, he would have to do a lot of listening to her to be motivated to work on their marriage. For the first six sessions together, I encouraged Susan to share her feelings, and I helped Jim patiently understand her negative feelings. This was the hardest part of the healing process. As he began to really listen to her pain and unfulfilled needs, he became increasingly motivated and confident that he could, in fact, make the changes necessary to have a loving relationship. But before Susan could be motivated to work on the relationship, she needed to be heard and she needed to feel that Jim validated her feelings. This was the first step. So, after Susan felt understood, now they are able to proceed to the next step. So, as you will see through the three steps, is that you do need both partners to go through the steps. Step two is taking responsibility. Jim needs to take responsibility for not supporting his wife the way she needed to feel supported, while Susan needs to take responsibility for not setting boundaries. So while Jim apologized for the way he had hurt her, Susan also was able to take responsibility for her actions. And she didn't need to apologize, but she was able to gradually accept that her inability to set limits and her tendency to give more had also contributed to their problems. She was able to then be more forgiving because taking responsibility for her problem was essential in releasing her resentment. This way, they both were motivated to learn new ways of supporting each other through respecting limits. Which brings us to step number three, practice. Jim needed to learn how to respect her boundaries while Susan needed to learn how to set them. Both of them needed to learn how to express honest feelings in a respectful way. They agreed in this third step to practice setting and respecting limits. They knew they will obviously be making some mistakes, but being able to make mistakes gave them a safety net while they both practice. So some examples would be Susan practiced saying, "I don't like the way you are talking to me. Please stop yelling or I will leave the room." After leaving the room a few times, she didn't need to do it anymore because he learned. Another example would be when Jim would make requests that she would later resent doing. She practiced saying, "No, I need to relax," or "No, I'm too busy today." She discovered that he was more attentive to her because he finally understood how busy or tired she was. Another example is when they talked and Jim interrupted her, she practiced saying, "I'm not finished. Please hear me out." Suddenly, he started listening more and interrupting less. Wow, communication, it works. But of course, only when both partners want to make it work. So the lesson here is this: as a man experiences limits, he is motivated to give more. Through respecting limits, he automatically is motivated to question the effectiveness of his behavior patterns and to start making changes. When a woman realizes that in order to receive, she needs to set limits, then automatically she begins to forgive her partner and explore new ways of asking for and receiving support. When a woman sets limits, she gradually learns to relax and to receive more, aka sipping into her feminine energy. So for women, a lot of women tend to fear figuring out how to receive. Setting limits and receiving can be very scary for a woman. And I know it sounds absurd, but hear me out. She is commonly afraid of needing too much and then being rejected, judged, abandoned. Rejection, judgment, abandonment are the most painful because deep down inside of her unconsciousness, she holds the incorrect belief that she is unworthy of receiving more, especially because women tend to be more of givers. This belief was formed and reinforced in childhood. Every time she had suppressed her feelings or her needs or wishes. Because a woman is afraid of not being supported, she unknowingly pushes away the support that she needs. So when a man receives a message that she doesn't trust him to fulfill her needs, then he feels immediately rejected and he's then turned off. Her hopelessness and mistrust transforms her valid needs into desperate expressions of neediness and communicate to him that the message that she doesn't trust him to support her. Ironically, men are primarily motivated by being needed, but are turned off by neediness. At such times, a woman mistakenly assumes that having needs turned him off, when the truth is, it's her hopelessness, desperation, and mistrust that has done so. I think what he's trying to say is that sometimes we tend to get passive aggressive or we don't communicate exactly what we need. And if we just communicated what we needed, a man will then feel needed versus playing games or being passive aggressive and so on, or nagging is what will then make a man feel that the woman is being needy versus if she just expressed exactly what she needed. Without recognizing that the man needs to be trusted, it's difficult and confusing for women to understand the difference between needing and neediness. Needing is openly reaching out and asking for support from a man in a trusting manner, one that assumes that he will do his best. This empowers him. Neediness, however, is desperately needing support because you don't trust you will get it. It pushes men away and makes them feel rejected and not appreciated. For women, not only is needing others confusing, but being disappointed or abandoned is especially painful, even in the smallest ways. It's not easy for her to depend on others and to be ignored, forgotten, or dismissed. So when a woman realizes that she truly deserves to be loved, she's opening the door for a man to give to her. But when it takes her 10 years of overgiving in a marriage to realize that she deserves more, ironically, she feels like closing the door and not giving him a chance. She may feel something like this: I have given to you and you have ignored me. You had your chance. I deserve better. I can't trust you. I'm too tired. I have nothing left to give. I will not let you hurt me again. Repeatedly, when this is the case, I have assured women that they don't have to give more to have a better relationship, which I think is a mistake a lot of us women make. Their partner actually will give them more if they give them less. When a man has been ignoring her needs, it is as though they have both been asleep. When she wakes up and remembers her needs, he also wakes up and wants to give her more. Predictably, her partner will wake up from his passive state and truly make many of the changes that she requires. When she is no longer giving too much because she's feeling worthy inside herself, he comes out of his cave and starts building spaceships to come and make her happy. It may take him a while to actually learn to give her more, but the most important step is taken. He is now aware that he has neglected her and he wants to change. So this shows you that instead of nagging or saying, you need to do this, you need to do that, show him with actions by giving less. Because when you start to give more thinking he will pay attention to that, you will grow resentful. But if you take a step back, that is when you will give him the chance to give you more. And of course, if he doesn't, then that's how you can know to walk away from the relationship. This is not in the book. This is also, I'm partly reading and partly explaining. All right, so let's wrap this up. So this also works the other way around. Usually when a man realizes that he's unhappy and he wants more romance and love in his life, his wife will suddenly begin to open up and love him again. The walls of resentment begin to melt and love comes back to life. Quite often, when one partner makes a positive change, normally the other one will also change. This predictable coincidence is one of those magical things about life. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. When the question is asked and the answer is heard, when we are truly ready to receive, then what we need will become available. So when the women were ready to receive, the Martians were ready to give. So learning to give. A man's deepest fear is that he's not good enough or that he's incompetent, and he tries to compensate for this with fear by focusing on increasing his power and competence. Success, achievements, and efficiency are foremost in his life. Before they discover the Venus ladies, the Martians were so concerned with these qualities that they didn't care about anything or anybody else. A man appears most caring when he is afraid. Just as women are afraid of receiving, men are afraid of giving. To extend himself in giving to others, it means the risk of failure, correction, and disapproval. This belief was formed and reinforced in childhood every time he thought he was expected to do better. When his accomplishments were unnoticed or were not appreciated, deep in his unconsciousness, he began forming the incorrect belief that he was not good enough. So again, just as women are afraid of receiving, men are afraid of giving. Both are based on their childhood. So ironically here, when a man really cares a lot, his fear of failure increases and therefore he ends up giving less. To avoid failure, he stops giving to the people that he wants to give the most. When a man is insecure, he may compensate by not caring about anybody else except himself. His most automatic defensive response is to say, I don't care. For this reason, the Martians did not let themselves feel or care too much for others. By becoming successful and powerful, they finally realized that they were good enough and that they can finally succeed in giving. Then they discover the Venus women, although they have always been good enough. But the process of proving their power prepared them for the wisdom of self-esteem. So the first step for a man in learning how to give more is to realize that it's okay to make mistakes, it's okay to fail, and that he doesn't have to have all the answers. A young boy who's fortunate enough to see his father succeed in fulfilling his mother enters relationships as an adult with a rare confidence that he can succeed in fulfilling his partner. He's not terrified of commitment because he knows he can deliver. He also knows that when he doesn't deliver, he's still adequate, and he still deserves love and appreciation for doing his best. He does not condemn himself because he knows he's not perfect and that he always is doing his best and his best is good enough. He's able to apologize for his mistakes because he expects forgiveness, love, and appreciation for doing his best. Many men, especially around this time, do not have successful role models when they were growing up. For them, staying in love, getting married, and having a family is as difficult as flying a jumbo jet without any training. He may be able to take off, but he is sure to crash. It is difficult to continue flying once you have crashed the plane a few times, or if you witness your father crash. Without good training manual for relationships, it is easy to understand why so many men and women give up on relationships. So in conclusion, men are motivated and empowered when they feel needed. Women are motivated and empowered when they feel cherish. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode as much as I enjoyed sharing it with you guys. Again, this is from the book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, which I will cover in a few other Tuesday episodes. And yeah, that is all. We have a part two this Thursday of Why Men Pull Away Because Men Are Like Rubber Bands. Can't wait. I'll see you then. Have a beautiful day and I'll see you Thursday. Bye, besties.